Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. It looks like we're going to be able to catch up on some news before we get into some more academic material. Now, I know there's all sorts of things that are just doing out there, whether it's also the communists making stupid comments or even Cory Booker doing some things that he shouldn't be doing, or, hey, Trump writing his executive order. All of those stories are not going anywhere. But we're going to cover some stories that I think are behind the scenes that you need to know about, or at least kind of understand, and let's put them into context with other things going on. So that's what our attempt is to do today. And I think you're going to find, I mean, if you've been considering reparations, let's kind of look at what's going to happen and so forth. And so anyway, this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And as you know, you are listening to the only show that will provide you with the insights necessary in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. And I'm here to tell you that they're not going to do this stuff on their own. It seems to me like where we're heading down that path of tyranny. If you understand the leftists and how intolerant they really are, then you are going to witness a level of oppression when they actually are able to seize the Constitution and put it aside, that what may make the Khmer Rouge look bad. And as a matter of fact, in some respects, I don't believe that it's going to be at the hands of a gun or at the hands of a knife. I honestly think there are some wackos out there that are going to unleash some really bad diseases that are going to kill people. And I just say that because they think that there's just too many people. I mean, China has way too many people, and they just use them as political prisoners so you can buy their organs. They're just capitalizing in the most immoral way over the abundance of people that they have. And so, let's get into some of that. We will, and as soon as I have some word from Dr. Vial, then I will be able to give you some details as to when we're going to be talking about immigration. But again, even though this news is going nowhere, we're going to cover the news du jour, or I should say, some of the news stories that should have been played, or things that you probably haven't looked at regarding a particular subject or topic or what have you. If you want to support the process in saving the Constitution, we would ask that you buy Red State Coffee grind or Red State Coffee beans. The way you get them is by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org. And just scroll down on the homepage, and you will have a link to them, and you'll be able to try them. I mean, I would just tell you that you don't have anything to lose, even though it's $12, but you will find that this is it's going to be one of the best cups of coffee you've ever had. And what would be better, enjoying your cup of coffee as you're listening to G.R. Mobley talking about reclaiming the Republic. I mean, how good would that be, right? So anyway, we also have the crowdfunding out there on GoFundMe. Would love to have your assistance and or help in paying for our travel. If I can get funding, if I can get the funding that we need, I'm not going to bring it up anymore. I don't want to have to do this, but bottom line, I can't afford to fight the war myself. So we do need your support. And actually, the support that we really need are those of you who are willing to get engaged and get involved in doing what needs to be done. We're running out of time, folks. And I'm okay with being the guy ignored, and I'm okay with, you know, standing over in the corner and saying, I told you so. But that's not going to make your, you know, your serving of oppression and your serving of tyranny going to go down any easier. So if you've got a computer, you've got a phone, you want to lead, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Now, real quick, thank you for tuning in. What we'd like to do is we believe in the snowball effect. We believe that if everybody listening to the show actually encourages other people to check out the show, then what'll happen is more and more people will start listening and they're going to get it. They're going to understand. So what we're asking is please continue to tune in, and we would ask that you actually expand the reach of this show by getting more people to start streaming, downloading, or dialing up. Remember, we have a listen line, right? That listen line is 605-562-4209 or 605-313-0599, 313-0599. Now, with all of that said, as I look through the news, there is no sign that the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. These despots are here to stay. If you want to do something about it, that means you have to do something about it. Wishing won't make it so. And unfortunately, I do believe in the power of prayer, but I don't think the good Lord's going to do anything unless you're willing to actually stand up and do something. And I'm actually seeing things happening, but we need a lot more people standing up doing things to get that level of energy from the Lord so that we can do what we need to do. Now, I will also say this, that if you are looking for the opportunity, again, not just leading, but even considering running for office, let us know. We want to help anybody. And as a matter of fact, this segues right into my next topic that I want to talk about, because after looking at all of the sessions and after looking at all of the outcomes in some of these dark red states, some people are really happy with Idaho having, you know, undoing all of the regulations and so forth. And in understanding how red Idaho is, how red Utah is, and how red these states are, Wyoming and so forth, I believe we need a wholesale change. There's very few of those in office that really get and understand that we're running out of time and that it doesn't really matter what happens in the states. If the federal government falls, we're all screwed. Forgive the lack of finesse with the language, but I'm here to tell you that when I look at these legislatures, and it just makes me sick to see these guys and gals, you know, pump up their chest like they're a proud peacock, and they probably are working for NBC, and they're actually out there saying, oh, you know, I'm the most constitutional, I'm out there for your Second Amendment rights. I don't care about my Second Amendment rights if my Constitution goes away. In other words, that Second Amendment right's as good as dead without the rest of the Constitution. We need leaders to actually stand up and take a stand for the Constitution. I'm absolutely fed up with these Pyrrhus victories where they say, oh, well, we stop this and we stop that, but we're still losing the war. We're no closer to turning this around, and we've got some people that are coming on board with this, but we need wholesale change. And I'm telling you that the party's a big part of the problem. We have to actually force the party to take a stand for its brand, take a stand for the Constitution, and take a stand for its platform. These things are critical, folks. And so, as I look at the outcome of these last legislations that have come out of these red states, they deserve a big raspberry. I'm not pleased. I'm not even proud to call these people constitutional conservatives. But boy, I tell you what, they sure are proud. And they're telling you, I'm here and I'm working for you. And what they're really working for is they're working for an opportunity. And I've lost my faith. I thought I had some support in Idaho, and I just don't. And I think one of the big problems and one of the biggest hurdles we have in Idaho happens to be the John Birch Society, because those guys are going around. And so what we're going to be doing in the next couple of weeks, we're going to play to you how they actually, and we're going to give you everything. We're going to disclose everything, because we want to show to you how these guys will try to create a persona like, you know, I'm a nefarious guy and so forth, so that they do a hit job, a public hit job, so that they can get everybody to question what the heck I'm talking about. And fortunately, a lot of the people there weren't listening to what the heck they were saying because they weren't really coherent. But I understood exactly what they were doing. And these were Idaho John Birchers that came out and after me. And so with that, I find it interesting. I find it entertaining that, you know, Idaho is stuck in where they are with, you know, a lacklustered legislative body. They have done nothing to stand up to federal tyranny. They're just standing up to their own bureaucracies. And all it is that old Who song, look at the new boss, or, you know, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, right? And I'm here to tell you, we need some wholesale changes. We need paradigm changes. We will be right back after these two messages. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so Ross Perot loved... Oh, before I move forward on Ross Perot, I'm serious. If you love the Constitution, if you want to run for office next year in 2020 and displace the clown that calls himself a Republican in your state legislature, let me know. Send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Who knows, especially if you live in these dark red states, Wyoming, South Dakota, North Dakota. I'm telling you, I'm not finding a lot. Wyoming, I have found quite a few, but that's just because they're so dark and red. There are lots of them that need to go hunt, go by the wayside, and we're going to go rhino hunting. There's a lot of rhinos in Wyoming, which means that there's a lot of rhinos in South and North Dakota. Same thing with Montana, Idaho, Utah. We need to go rhino hunting, and we need your help. So please, if you're considering taking on the challenge, we will help you. You know what? And I honestly believe, let's say you have, blemishes in your life. Let's say maybe you've done some things, committed a crime or done something bad. I honestly want you to lead with that. If you've done that, but you have, you've lived a good life for the last however many years, then as far as I'm concerned, you should be able to take a stand. And if you come out with the factors of honesty, being forthright, being right out there saying, okay, this is what we did, blah, 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 then I honestly believe that people will be more than happy to listen and to take you, as a real candidate and vote for you. Look, they voted for Bill Clinton because he smoked pot. Look at the Barack Hussein Obama, where he actually went out and did, had engaged in homosexual acts and did all sorts of drugs, cocaine and so forth. Come on. These guys put it in books. It was out there. And he was very good at keeping that, and the news media shielded everybody from that, but it was out there. And I'm just saying that we don't need perfect. We can't expect perfect. We've got to start actually being reasonable and saying, okay, we all make mistakes. These people that just do a good job in covering up their crap because they've been bought and sold for by somebody else that's been able to, literally do the damage control for them. We got to stop electing these guys. Now, let me move on to Ross Perot. I read an article today that Ross Perot, or actually earlier this week, Ross Perot loved America. Ross Perot gave America Bill Clinton. There is no doubt in my mind he did not care about what was going on in America. He only cared about very, very specific things. Maintaining the globalist agenda. If he really wanted to run for president, then he would have done a much better job in his second run against Bob Dole. And Bob Dole wouldn't have been the hands-down guy for the Republicans. There was a reason why he ran as a third ticket, and that was to protect Clinton. Clinton won the first election with 39% of the popular vote. And he won the second election, I think, with 42 or 43. That guy didn't once win with a majority of the popular vote. And everybody wants to say, hey, this guy wins the popular vote and scuttled the whole of the Electoral College. Are you kidding me? Anyway, I don't believe Ross Perot. Just reversing. Sometimes I get dyslexic. Anyway, I believe Ross Perot loved the opportunity of control that he had. And I truly believe Ross Perot made a lot of money because of government. He made some really good decisions. He was a good, savvy businessman. But there's no doubt in my mind, he really took it to the next level with the help of government. So with that, I'm just going to tell you that I do not believe, and I'm not convinced, and I see these people giving these kudos and thanks, and he was such a great guy. I didn't see that. Ross Perot not only gave us Bill Clinton, he gave us NAFTA. Do you remember right after the first election, Perot actually debated Al Gore, and Al Gore could barely, he couldn't even speak as good as me, and I'm tongue-tied here today. And I'm here to tell you that Ross Perot, with his what was those flip charts and all those things that he used back when he was campaigning and so forth, he looked like a bumbling idiot when he debated Gore over NAFTA. Why was that? He wanted to make sure that he presented a poor argument. He stood more to gain in the transshipment points that he was controlling down in Texas. Ross Perot was serving Ross Perot. He wasn't helping America. Anybody that really believes that, you need to start analyzing the information at a macro view and go, how did he actually help America? Give me that. How did he actually help America, where he was actually just doing business that was helping him? And he made sure that we had globalists in office. Now, I will tell you, I believe Bob Dole would have been a globalist as well. But I think they just wanted to keep, and I think the Clintons wanted to use him because they're all Southern boys, right? Bill Clinton from Arkansas, right next to Texas. And I honestly believe that he saw that he had better, more to gain with Clinton in office than with Bob Dole. Now, I'm not sure if you've heard about this group called the Confederate Railroad, but they were dropped over the Confederate flag, and they're basically, as I understand it, they're like a performing group. And they were dropped from the state Illinois State Fair or County Fair or something in Illinois because they used the flag. We're getting to a point, my friends, where, you know, how dare you use any kind of symbol that offends us? You know, you could get away with actually putting, you know, taking a picture of your middle finger or taking picture of doo-doo or what have you, and that won't offend anybody. But that Confederate flag, oh, heavens to Betsy, you're not performing here. That means hate. Regardless of the sewage that your poo-poo makes, regardless of the expletive that is coming from a picture of somebody flipping someone off. I mean, really, we have gotten so, and this is where our framers were very conscientious of this, and that's one of the reasons why the Sedition Act was hated by the Republicans. And it sure seems like the Republicans are going, at least the establishment, are going lock, stock, and barrel in buying into label lynching. I have seen in my local area the Republican establishment go after people, accusing them of being racist when they didn't have a racist bone in their body. And these people were harmed, and the problem is, how do you prove it? And what's the point? Because it's not like there was any money. It was just an opportunity to actually do political work in making political headway. And because these people were perceived as a threat to the establishment, they were taken down by label lynching. And I'm going, well, there you go. There you go. We are in a space of political correctness. That's why that political correctness piece was so important in reading the Declaration of Independence yesterday. I hope you get a chance to play that again when you download my podcast. I got to catch up because, as you know, I've been taking care of a very, 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 very close loved friend. And so my time has been stretched so thin that I have to do these recordings in advance or what have you. So please forgive me for not being able to do some live recordings, but life and friendship and love has to trump, you know, some things of, you know, having the news and what have you. And you don't tune into this show. You're not tuning into this show for me to reexamine what everybody's talking about. You tune into this show because we talk about a constitutional perspective of what the heck's going on. And, you know, the trends, the sentiments, and the direction that we are going, we're reading the tea leaves here. And this Confederate Railroad and the fact that they were dropped out of this Illinois state performance that they were going to do, this is just another sign that we are moving towards I'll call them the hate police. We're moving towards censorship. We are moving towards that kind of tyranny. Now, if you haven't heard, Home Depot is supporting Trump. They're all in, and the owner of Home Depot is throwing money at Trump. Well, I'm not sure about you, but if I was in the market for doing some serious remodeling, I would probably go down to Home Depot and find out what the heck they could do for me and get as much business down to Home Depot as possible. When we come back, I'm actually going to talk about the compare and contrast Home Depot with Lowe's and some other companies. So when we come back, we'll talk about that. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after these two messages. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Now, I'm not sure if you remember back in Barry or Barack Hussein Obama and his administration, but there was a point in time, I think it was 2009, shortly after he took office, and with the DHS, they started identifying veterans as potential terrorists. They recognize that veterans love the Constitution and don't like people that break them. So, well, of course, we would be a terrorist to a communist. But anybody that loves the Constitution, supports the Constitution, and abides by the Constitution, you can bet that the patriots are right there and the veterans are wholeheartedly supporting them. However, the DHS actually started creating databases and started going after veterans. And so most veterans kind of had to do their best to, you know, stay out of the limelight. Now, as a veteran, and I know lots of veterans that enjoy veteran discounts. However, this has gotten to a point where, you know, Home Depot and Lowe's both offer veteran discounts. Well, why am I bringing this up? Because a couple of years back, Lowe's started demanding that if you want your veterans discount, you have to go register with Lowe's. And I go, oh, well, what that means is they're going to actually put me in a database so that they clearly delineate me from the rest of their customers as a veteran. Which, what do companies do today? They love sharing data with the government. That's how Amazon became protected and became big, because they were sharing data with the CIA. And so when Lowe's started demanding that I put my Social Security number and my veterans information into their database, I said, you know what? I'm done with you, Lowe's. And I just drove down the street and I started shopping at Home Depot, who still just looks at the card and offers me a 10% discount. There you go. I'm a Home Depot fan, and I'm a former Lowe's buyer, a former Lowe's shopper. And that's what we need to be doing. So as I was going into the break, because Home Depot is actually supporting Trump, and it seems like they're pro USA far more than Lowe's, I would just say, if you're planning on doing remodeling, you're looking to get maybe your front door, garage doors replaced, doing some minor upgrades or what have you, it's time you go to Home Depot and find out what they can do. Now, I'm going to tell you that in dealing with a large, you know, organization like that, they're not going to hold your hand. They're dealing with hundreds and thousands of other customers, and you could get lost in the fray. You could have problems. As a matter of fact, nowhere have I and my wife gone, even in the hand-holding small businesses, because we had a bunch of dolts that, you know, I think it was ACI Northwest that, you know, came in and did some work for us. And I'm telling you, I didn't feel like I was an important customer at all with those folks. And they were a really small, rinky-dink company. And as a matter of fact, they were the installer by choice with Lowe's for one of the products and that's how we met them. And I go, you know, are you sure you're going to be able to install this, you know, this product? We went in, I think it was early June. It may have been early July, but either way, we went to get this installed and we were told it would take less than 30 days. That install did not get completed until, well, I want to say some of it was done in October, but it wasn't really completed until, I think, January. That's, you know, how bad it is when you even go with a small rinky-dink company. So you're going to have headaches, and every time you deal with a contractor, every time you deal work, you just got to, it's like self-inflicted pain you're going to do upon yourself. And if you've done the work yourself, you know that there are the, what do you want to call those things? The unknowns, the things that, until you pull this thing off, you have no idea the condition behind that in the wall or what have you. And then next thing you know, you've got a much bigger project, and the magnitude has just doubled in scale, right? So anyway, if you're going to do some, at least get your remodeling done at Home Depot. Because between now and 2020, I'd like to throw as much business towards Home Depot as possible. Now, I found it interesting that the court has ruled that Oh So the Communist can't block tweets. And so it seems like most people know about it, but I find it interesting that it just is not getting the play in the mainstream media. As a matter of fact, they don't even talk about that. And as a matter of fact, if you've got a Twitter account, you ought to start slamming her for being, an elitist, where she thinks she's above the political fray of us minions, of us constituents, and of us who are the lower class in her society. And so, I mean, start poking her in the eye. Just call her a communist, because she is one. Just all you got to do to do that is just get that picture of her holding up Karl Marx. She's holding up this big black and white picture, looking at that, gawking at it, and go, what a communist. and just tweet that to her. And watch how frustrated she's going to get because she can't block and she can't delete those types of tweets anymore. Interesting. That's what happens when you hit the public service flag. Anyway, here's another one. 24 states are out demanding tougher mileage standards. Why is this not being reported? Well, that's because these are blue states. These blue states have these agendas, and they're trying to get this clamoring that we need to go after Trump and get unseat Trump over his climate policies. They are targeting him for his climate policies. So I want to be clear here. The fact that there are 24 states that are trying to throw their constituents, and I happen to be living in one of them, and I feel sorry for those folks in California. I'm here to tell you, they want more money out of your pocket. They want to actually get you to say, I'm not paying that kind of money anymore. I'd rather ride a bicycle. And then they win. Here's another good one, because if you haven't heard, Mitch McConnell is now got a real fighter on his hands. He's fighting Amy McGrath, who is a Democrat, squaring off against him. And oh, by the way, she's a retired Army fighter pilot. Now, what does that mean, Army fighter pilot? Well, she's probably a helicopter pilot because Army doesn't have a lot of fixed air wing, and most of their fixed air wings really aren't fighter aircraft. So anyway, which means anybody that goes into the, you know, the rotary aircraft type of warfare, you've got to have some tenacity. But here's the thing. She's running as a Democrat. So anybody that comes from the military that runs as a Democrat, you have to question their patriotism and you have to question the fact that they understand the Constitution and their oath of office. Here are people that want to actually represent the party that wants to shred the Constitution. And this is really sad. I'd love to see a real veteran go after Mitch McConnell and unseat him. Obviously, he's a problem. He's been a problem. Another thing that actually is in the news, which is Bill Clinton in full spin mode since Jeffrey Epstein has been indicated, or I should say indicted, on charges of sex trafficking and sex trafficking conspiracy. Now, I believe that this plea will be not guilty, and I believe that it'll continue as things more and more unravel and more charges come and so forth. I truly believe that they're going to do everything they can to protect this man because there are people that will be going down with him. Now, the interesting thing is, as this has already kind of played out already, that they were trying to go after Alexander Acosta, get him to resign. And the fact of the matter is, these things are actually playing out. And what they try to do is they try to create this fever pitch of, oh, this person's terrible because of this, and they did this. You know, and then once all the facts come out, they go, kind of lays fat. What they do is they want to see if the person will succumb to the pressure, because there are some people out there that as soon as their name is associated to doo-doo hitting the fan, they bail out. They just quit and so forth. And that means that they win. And they know this. Here's something that's really important, though, that you won't understand the magnitude of this. Because if you understand Amazon has now got a parasite that is living within it. Because IBM, oh, there's that hard break. I can't tell you what happened with IBM this week. But when we come back, I will. So when you come back, I'm going to be talking about how IBM is the parasite with Amazon and others. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter.
I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, in my mind's eye, I am seeing these IBM executives rubbing their grubby mitts that they have become the parasite to Amazon and a lot of the cloud services. Why? Because a lot of cloud services uses Red Hat, and they were successful in acquiring the North Carolina-based open source software company, as I just said, Red Hat, in a $34 billion deal. I'm telling you, that is not chump change, and IBM is going to position itself to basically start demanding, because I've seen this. I've actually seen this on contracts I've worked, where IBM comes in, they start doing audits, and they say, prove to me that you're not, that you're paying for all of the licenses that you have running. And so what they do is they put in auditing software to actually keep track. And the next thing you know, oh, shoot, you're actually having to spend more money to IBM because of the licensing requirements. And when you're on government, contracts, there's this thing that you have to comply to licensing contracts and licensing information. And if you don't, if there is a suspicion that you are not compliant, there's an organization called the BSA that they will send in. And oh, it's not the Boy Scouts of America. These guys are like federal marshals, and they will come in and they will seize an account and confirm whether you're playing shenanigans with your tracking of licenses and so forth, and whether you're not paying IBM their full pound of flesh that they need to get from you. That's how they play. So if you're an IBM fan, then hey, this is great. If you're an Amazon fan, then oh, this is bad. Or any of these, like Adobe or what have you. Red Hat is the primary OS that is ran in most data, or I should say clouds, data centers and what have you. Especially on the government side. Very specifically on the government side. And so, and Amazon is the big dog. So you can start to probably start leaning and listening, and you probably hear some sucking sound coming from those AWS accounts. Anyway, Religion and politics. So let me just kind of get into, you know, this whole concept of religion and politics, right? Trump's address covering policies ranging from marine debris to hunting on public lands comes as an environmental issue which is gaining traction. And I've been telling you this, that the environmental issues are becoming a huge presidential election matter. And so this is religion in politics. This is where people are, you know, clinging to ideological information and ideological views versus the facts. And so we are looking at a big shift because we've been moving and migrating since the environmental age of what, the counterculture revolution and so forth. And these idiots coming out of the school system, they truly believe this this mumbo jumbo science or this religious ideology of climatology. Now, I'm not sure if you've also heard this, but there's two points that you may not have heard regarding Facebook. Facebook U.S. data transfer case goes to Europe's top court this past week. And as a matter of fact, on July 9th, that's when they started hearing arguments. And this is whether Facebook's Dublin-based subsidiary can legally transfer users' personal data to the United States parent company. And so Facebook is claiming that they want that. And so Facebook is actually showing their head that they want to consolidate all their data on their users because they want to actually start marking and controlling and tracking you. But here's the interesting thing, because Apple is now seeking users to dump Facebook. And I believe Apple is around the corner getting ready to come out with a social media platform that will get everybody, because there's lots of people that have gone over to MeWe, and there's a couple of other social media platforms out there. I'm on a couple of them, and that are, you know, similar to like Facebook. MeWe is one as well. And so I do believe that the stage has been set for everybody to do this mass exodus off of Facebook. Now, here's the question I have. What will happen to Zuckerberger when all of a sudden his value goes to nothing? You know, and all the billions that he had, will that actually just evaporate? Or was he smart enough to actually diversify so that he's no longer dependent on his stupid stock? Don't know. Probably, I'll bet on the fact of he's smarter than that and actually diversified because he realized that his days would be numbered. Because things like what he invented come and go. But let me get to this one other story, because we kind of talked about this in the very beginning about reparations. And in the name of veiled reparations, or if you want to call it social justice, I really don't care. But let's look at what's going on in South Africa. And this is from G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News. The Solidarity Movement, a trade union representing workers, campaigned in Europe to bring awareness against the changes to South Africa's constitution to allow expropriation of land from white farmers. And so if you understand what I just said, white farmers, that has a racial component to it, okay? So in other words, they're going to be taking these white farmers' property by expropriation and not giving them compensation, right? Which has led to farm attacks. In response, the Netherlands passed a motion against the policy as it violates the International Declaration of Human Rights and the African Charter on Human and People's Rights, which both prohibit expropriation of property on the basis of skin color. The Solidarity Movement expects other countries to follow the example of the Dutch Parliament to openly discuss the problem on the international stage. So I want you to understand something. They're already pointing out that in these national, and this may be a reason why this is coming out, because supposedly the UN and these other charters and organizations and so forth have created these laws that you can't expropriate property, like, you know, for reparations or what have you, even though they come along and say, hey, you've got to pay reparations. But let me move on. In the name of equality and political correctness, the World Jewish Congress is urging U.S. lawmakers to make studying the Holocaust mandatory in all schools, citing statistics from a 2018 poll revealing that half of millennials can't name a single Nazi concentration camp. And this is, again, is G. Edward Griffin, and his subtext to this is they can't name any communist concentration camps either, but that is not of their apparent concern. The Never Again Education Act proposes making Holocaust education mandatory in every school in the U.S. and would create grants for teachers to teach students about the Holocaust and the repercussions that hate and intolerance can have on our society. But again, this is very myopic and one-sided. And Griffin comes right out and says, we agree that children should be taught that hate and intolerance must be rejected in a just society. But we fear that selective focus on hate and intolerance against only Jewish victims to the exclusion of those in other ethnic groups who have suffered similar fates is likely to miss its stated goal. In other words, it makes us myopically looking at one very particular thing. Without knowledge of the death camps and the killing fields of the Soviets, the Red Chinese, the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia, and the torture chambers of communist Romania and Cuba and so forth. I mean, folks, we've had these problems for a long time, and this whole thing that they want to focus on the Holocaust, that does all of this despotism and tyranny a huge misservice, and it is a deliberate act to get people to focus. It's almost like the same thing with trying to create transgender focuses in education. It's wrong. And as a matter of fact, we have no business sexualizing any of the topics in school. It doesn't matter. However, let me get back to G. Edward Griffin. Children are likely to form a false impression that Jews are the only ones who have suffered from such inhumanity in modern times, and that the Nazis are the only perpetrators. This false impression may also be used to discourage criticism of the political policies of the Israel government for fear of being labeled anti-Semitic and condemned on a par with Holocaust criminals. That outcome, in fact, may be the primary motive behind this proposal. And actually, you know, there's times when I don't agree with J. Edward Griffin, but I think he's spot on this. There is more regarding racism and Kamala Harris or whatever, you know, Harris, the one that was never a poor person. Her father, up her father's line, owned slaves and so forth. Anyway, she, as you know, she wants to buy black and minority votes by giving them, at least blacks, $100 billion so that they can, you know, distribute wealth to them. It's just more communism, right? Folks, we will be back on Monday and or in the next show, and you will hear even more inciting information, and hopefully academic will be back.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
I am G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help.